The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I don't know how serious, I don't feel in a serious mood this morning, but I'm going to do my best to be serious. You know, I am. The title of the sermon is, Why Amen is Not Enough When You Pray. Why Amen is Not Enough When You Pray. And I want you to watch this.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
thine is the power,
and thine is the glory forever
and ever.
Amen.
Matthew 6:13 says this. I've got it on the screen for you. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I like the way the Message translation puts it. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in glory. Yes, yes, yes. Don't you love that? Oh, I tell you, what an insight the guy had when he did the message. He came up with that thought. Brother Don, you can give us a little light if you would. I'm up here looking at a blank page. Oh, there it is. Let there be light. The early church evidently didn't feel that it was appropriate to end the Lord's Prayer would deliver us from evil, or using the word evil. So they added what is commonly known as the doxology at the end of that prayer. It was commonly used in the early church. The early church prayed what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's probably more appropriately described as the disciples' prayer, because they asked him, they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples how to pray? And Jesus gave them what we just heard on the video. And then they added to that the doxology, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, it was commonly used in the old early church. We don't know when it began to be said this way. But when we discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls and began to look at the most ancient manuscripts that we have, we discovered that that phrase was not in the original text. So in all probability, Jesus didn't say it. And you know, when I, knowing that, I said, well, I don't know if I want to preach this sermon, you know, but it kept coming into my mind, into my heart. So I went looking and I discovered that that phrase is used in at least three other places in the Bible, in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in the book of Psalms, the 145th Psalm, and in the book of Daniel chapter 2. The early church could have said, "Deliver us from evil, amen," but they continued on. They said, "For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever, amen." There's a message here for us that has been carried through the ages from the early church. We know about the inspired writings of God, and we know some about the church, but our brothers and sisters in Christ in ancient times felt compelled to say this enough that it actually crept into some of the later manuscripts. They were a church that were living in perilous times. Things were hard. They were suffering greatly. They were persecuted. They were reading the book of Hebrews, where you see some of the terrible things that took place in the New Testament. People suffered such great things. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells about how many suffered so much. And they were living in perilous times. The enemy came in like a flood to destroy the new fledgling church that the Lord Jesus had established. So when they prayed, "Deliver us from evil," they made a proclamation of faith. "Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever, amen." They were making a proclamation of faith when they said that. And what they said then is important for them, but it's important for us today to make that same proclamation. And I want us to look at that proclamation of our brothers who lived in an evil world a very long, long time ago, and see why the ending of prayers with amen may not be enough. And the first thing I want us to look at is God's kingdom must be proclaimed. And let's look at the 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. And this is the American Standard Version, a little bit different than I normally use, but it says it in a way that I thought was pertinent to our message this morning. "Wherefore, David blessed Jehovah before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed be thou, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Jehovah, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Jehovah, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou rulest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." What a declaration that David made. David declared this, and I know that the early church must have known it, because you can almost see repeated what we see in this phrase at the end of the Lord's Prayer. The power and the glory and the kingdom and the majesty that is inherently in our Lord God Himself. This week, this very week, we've seen some horrible things that show the very presence of evil in our world. Evil that wants to eradicate every last vestige of Christianity and hope that exists. We've seen the death of our soldiers this week in Iraq. We've read about the molestation of children. It just boggles our minds when we see female teachers molesting boys, young boys. It was bad enough when men were molesting boys, girls, and boys, but now women are molesting boys. It just boggles our mind that these things are going on. Corruption of every kind. People that we put our faith and our trust in, even in New Orleans, they just said, I think 23 or 26 people affiliated with the New Orleans School Board or have been convicted of crime. What a horrible thing. Those are supposed to be taking care of our children. Those kinds of things are going on. And then just to add fuel to the fire, the ACLU comes into our little town to attack our little poster picture in the courthouse. It goes on and on and on. I want to thank Miss Rose publicly for having stood up. Boy, what a man! Don't get in this girl's way. She'll run you over. I'll tell you what. She grabbed a hold of this ACLU thing and got it going. And just I was so proud. I went to a meeting over at the church down the block here, the First Pentecostal Church, and I was so proud to look around that there was a lot of folks there, about 30 of them, and I think about 5 or 6 or 7 of them belonged to our church. I thought, that's pretty good. Miss Rose did a good job of getting the word out and so that we would know what to do. And let me encourage you, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, I looked in the TV guide. There's nothing on TV, all right? So come down there, and we'll have this little rally before the ACLU goes crazy.
Can I just say one thing, Pastor?
Yes. Good.
Before we would leave here to go to the courthouse.
Good idea.
So anyone that can come and join us, we sure would appreciate it. They're asking for 4,000 people to show up.
Hallelujah.
We don't get that many. As many as we can get, but we
have plenty. Amen. Good. Our state representative, A.G. Crow, is going to be there, and somewhere else, city council, and there'll be a lot of people who will be there, state representatives. So it's going to be a good time to express our faith in Christ. But the kingdom needs to be proclaimed. We need to proclaim the kingdom. Regina, testified this morning of someone she met who had no hope. And she was bold enough to proclaim the kingdom to them, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. The people need to know that. We need to tell them that the kingdom exists and so that they can hear about it. Next week, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July. And it's great. And thank God for America. But America is not the kingdom.
Yeah,
America is a nation that could, if the Lord tarries, could fall. And the way it's going, if God doesn't intervene, it's heading down the same road other nations fell in when they let corruption come into their midst. So America is not the kingdom of God. So we need to proclaim the kingdom more than we proclaim America. The early church believed in a kingdom enough to die for it. They did. They believed in what they had found so strongly that they were willing to die for it. You see, one of the things that happens here in America, we are so blessed with so much. We have this wonderful freedom. We have this prosperity. And those of you who have traveled to other countries will testify to the fact that the poorest in America live better than what many of the wealthiest in other countries. Because there are people who live in cardboard, live in abject poverty, children who live in sewers. I have a friend of mine who was a missionary to Romania, and they ministered to the children who live in sewers. They didn't have any parents. Little children taking care of themselves, living in sewers. And not one or two, but hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Living in a world without hope. And we need to go and proclaim hope through the kingdom of God. America is free because people who believed in it enough were willing to die for it. The kingdom of God will expand when we believe in it enough to live for it and to die for it if necessary. You know, I guess I'm probably one of the biggest contributors of talking about America and how great it is because I'm a great patriot. But I think I sometimes proclaim that so much and that don't proclaim enough the importance of the kingdom and those who died for the kingdom, those who shed their blood that we could be here today and have this wonderful gospel. If Lord willing, when I get back in town, I've been thinking about doing a series about the churches and using the book of Revelation in the first couple of chapters where it talks about the churches and talk about the personality of the church, of the early church, and the things that we can incorporate into our church and the things that we need to avoid in our church. So as the Lord's willing, when we get back, I hope to start a series about that. But Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The first thing that we hear him say, he says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we need to proclaim that so everyone knows. You know, the ACLU might take and use the laws of our land in order to get their way, but they won't touch the kingdom. The kingdom's unshakable. I've got a book at home called The Unshakable Kingdom. The kingdom is not being rattled. God's not worried. I heard somebody say on the TV this past week, talking about God being worried about something. He didn't use that word, but that was the inference that I got from it. I thought, God's not worried. He's not worried at all. I like the bumper sticker I saw a while back. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? I mean, he's not frightened or worried. God took care of business over 2,000 years ago when he sent his only begotten Son who died on the cross that we might have life and that the kingdom might be established. That's why Jesus told us to pray. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the kingdom's all right. The kingdom's safe. It's not rattled. It's not falling. It's not decaying. It's not full of corruption. There's no corruption in the kingdom. There are no liars in the kingdom. There's no adultery in the kingdom. There's no abortion in the kingdom. There's no ACLU in the kingdom. It's all about God. And it's the kingdom. We sometimes miss the concept of the kingdom when we hear the words Lord. We say that all the time. Well, Lord Jesus. Will you ever stop to think what that means? The Lord, we don't have that concept too much here. We're in America, but it's an old term that really referred to ancient days where you had a Lord who ruled everything. He was the boss, the absolute authority. And when you say Lord Jesus Christ, you're just saying, Lord, you're the absolute authority. You're number one, number two, number three, and number infinity. You control it all. And I bow to that authority. That's what the kingdom's all about. You notice you don't get votes. One of the things I try to do with this church is establish it like the kingdom. You notice you don't get the vote around here. We've been here for 7 years. You hadn't voted yet. Now, we did have a vote together. We did have a vote at breakfast, though, for the men's. But it was the men's ministry. It's different. Jim did such a good job of cooking breakfast, we voted him the permanent cook. So that was a vote. I got to, be careful how I say things to make sure I'm correct when I tell you things. But it's not about voting. It's about following. That's what the kingdom is like. Jesus said, I don't do anything and I don't say anything that my Father doesn't tell me to say and doesn't tell me to do. And that's the way we ought to be living in the kingdom. What is God doing? What is God saying? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be saying? We are to be proclaiming this unshakable and this unmovable kingdom. Only in the kingdom will men find peace and rest for their souls. I'll tell you a little testimony. It's not a little testimony. It's really a really, really, really big testimony. Mike Piazza has a friend that he's been talking to for some time. And he's a young man in his mid-40s. And his life is a wreck. That's by his testimony, not by mine. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. He's got four children, and ranging in age from about 19 to 6. And he's got serious problems. And Mike's been trying to help this young man. And Mike reached a stage with him where he thought he'd needed some help, and he asked me if I would talk to this guy. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to meet with him. So I met with him here this week, and he began to tell me his woes. And I'm listening to his woes, and I'm thinking, there ain't no way out of this box, pal. You were in a jam. I don't know that there's a way out of it. I'm just thinking in the natural, and I listened to him and the things that he had to say. And after he spoke for about 45 minutes, and I just heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me and said, you need to tell him about me. So I went back to square one where I normally go when I run into a situation like that. And I went to what's called the Roman Road in the book of Romans. And I showed him how all his sin and fall short of the glory of God. And I said, have you ever sinned? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, and you know what that says? You don't quite make it to God. You fall a little bit short. You know, one thing about the kingdom of God, close doesn't count. You need to be in or out, but you can't be close. And he said he realized that he was a sinner. And then I showed him where, again, in Romans, which says, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, what you get paid for sinning is death. You're going to die. Sin causes you to die. And not only are you physically going to die, but you are spiritually dead. You are separated from the source of all life. You are as dead as a person can be right here sitting in my room. And he got a little worried. Saw a little perspiration on his face. And I said, but the gift of God is eternal life. I said, how do you get a gift? And he pondered that for a moment. I said, you have to receive it, don't you? And he said, yeah. He said, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift. And it's life to offset the death penalty that's on you right now. And you know where you find it? You find it in Christ Jesus. He's got it. He died and rose from the grave to have eternal life that you might have this great life. And then I brought him over to another passage in Romans where it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I stopped right there and I said, that's one of those words that I didn't understand in 1972 when somebody told it to me. Saved. You know, all they ever saved was the dishes. You know, put them in a cupboard. Must have saved the dishes. That's all I ever did. But it's saved means to be rescued from a dangerous place. It's like standing on the edge of a cliff and you're about to fall over and someone runs up and grabs you and pulls you back from the precipice. You're about to fall in. So that's what salvation is. It says you're standing on a cliff. You're about to fall into a dark abyss of death forever and ever because there's no guarantee you'll make it out of this room alive or make it back to your house. So that's what salvation is. It said for with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, and with the heart one believes unto salvation. I said, would you like to pray and ask Christ into your life and join in the kingdom of God? And he said, yes. And I had the privilege of bringing this man into the presence of God. And the good news is, when he left out of my office and I gave him a Bible to take with him and gave him some scriptures to read, and I told him to call Mike. And so I waited till late that night and I called Mike and I said, did your buddy call? And he said, yeah. He said, he's so excited. He said, he was just said he never felt so good in all his life. So the next day I spoke to Mike again and Mike tells me his friend's 19-year-old daughter called him. She became a believer about a year ago. She's been praying for her daddy and praying for her daddy and praying for her daddy. And she said, her daddy told her that he got saved. See, it just confirms what I believe. You get the guys, you'll get the wives and the children, they'll come right along.
There you go. All right.
That's why we're going to start having a luncheon for men on at least a quarterly, maybe a monthly basis, where we're going to get guys in and tell them about the story of the kingdom. I believe that's the way we'll reach our community is through these men, reaching them out this way through men. It's one thing that I think I can do. I know a little bit about guys. We had breakfast the other morning. We were talking about this, and I said, I don't understand women. I'm afraid I don't. I don't know what's going on sometimes. They say yes, they mean no. They mean no, they say yes. You know, I get confused sometimes. But guys, I understand. There's not much going on up there. You know, it's pretty easy to get a guy, you know. They don't have a lot. They're not fancy talkers or nothing. I don't want to go too much further with this sword. I need to back off because I can get in a lot of trouble, all right? But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, we need to proclaim a kingdom. All right. The second thing is that God's power must be produced. Thine is the power. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. Thou, O King, and this is Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O King of kings, unto whom the God of heaven hath given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. The power, the strength, and the glory were given to this king, an ungodly king. But he had it to use it as God saw fit. For all power and authority is given by God. And that's why we're to submit to authority, because God did that. There's a video I want you to see. We've seen it once before, but I think it kind of displays what I'm trying to tell you this morning.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now that's power. That's what I'm talking about. Thine is the power. And it's wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And the authority has been given to us Jesus told his disciples, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't say anything until you receive this power, till you're endued with this power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up, and there's a mighty wind and flames of fire, and baptized those guys, and that began the work of the powerful New Testament church that turned the whole world upside down by its own testimony in the book of Acts. The power of God to change the world. Most of what's wrong with our world today is not the world. Most of what's wrong is a church that has lost the power. Amen. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what God has done in us. We've forgotten who our leader is. He is all-powerful, all-sufficient, indescribable. I wish I could repeat the whole thing again. I'll do it again. That's our King and our Lord. And we have that power residing within the church and residing within each one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been equipped by God with all the weapons of warfare that we need and all the tools we need and all the resources we need to do what needs to be done. It takes power to stop the work of Satan. If anyone thinks they can go against Satan without the power of God, you better be prepared for a whooping because you're going to get one. If you don't have the power and authority of God, you will be whipped when you go against the enemy. For he's strong and powerful. I had a guy one time in my house, showed up at a Bible study. He was demon-possessed. And he was a big guy. He started to come after me. He didn't like what I said. All I said was Jesus is Lord, and it just drove him crazy. So he took after me. He had a big old cane. He threw it across the room, made a move on me. And the angel of God knocked him on the floor, and it took six men to hold him down. That's how strong the demons were that were inside of him. I would like to tell you that that man got delivered after much fear and trepidation on my part. You know, we prayed everything we knew, but he got set free from that. It takes power to build a church. The church won't get built just because you want it to be built. And I'm talking about not necessarily New Beginnings Church. I'm talking about the church at large. For the church to grow. It takes power. It takes men and women who are willing to believe. Who are willing to believe. Who are willing to believe that there is power to change the world. To rescue those who are perishing. To go out into the highways and byways and find them. We have a handful of people in all the churches today. Most of the pews in most of the churches are empty. And the world is dying and languishing and hoping for the word of a Messiah to come and give them hope. And we have that blessed hope. Things have not changed in 2,000 years. As people languish under the power and the authority of the evil one through the auspices of the Roman Empire, so people suffer around the world today and they need to hear that there is hope. You were so right, Regina. Somebody needs to tell the world that there's hope, and you won't be able to do it in your own power, but you can do it in the power of God. Amen. To be brave enough to stand up to someone and say, I know where I can get you some help. I know I can help you get out of where you are, and things can be different. I heard someone say that, just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you don't have any problems. I've got news for you. You might have problems, but you've got power to get over your problems. And if your problems are overshadowing you, start looking to the power within you and the power in the church to help you get over your problems. We have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. We have the power of God over the circumstances and the situation. Most of us languish in pain and poverty and problems because we don't appropriate the power of God in our own lives. Amen. We don't even know how to pray for ourselves or for our family, our children, our wives. We need to get back to that old-time religion that believes in the power of God. Dennis gave me a book which I've been wanting to read forever. I don't know what took me so long, Dennis, to finally get a copy of it. But the Azusa Street Revival, I read 10 pages and shouted and cried at the whole time. the power of God being demonstrated in the church that changed the whole world. You are here today because of the work of that handful of people on Azusa Street. Because they discovered the power of God again. And when it got unleashed, it changed the whole world. When I first got in the kingdom of God back in the early 70s, it wasn't in vogue to be charismatic or be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But now we've gotten respect. I hadn't been thrown out of a church in a long time. I've been put out of two of them before that. But I think we've got too much respect. We need to do something disrespectful for a change. Maybe we ought to roll on the floors a little bit, hang off the ceiling, and shout and speak in tongues and just be crazy for a while. Oh, Lord, I hear myself preaching. I'm glad to do it. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than be wise in this crazy world. But I believe a small group of people turned on for God can change our world. The world needs to hear about the Jesus Christ, and the only way they're going to find it is through the church. And I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about you and me, the church. We're the ones that called out. Believers called out of the world, sanctified, made righteous, dressed in robes of righteousness, empowered by God, equipped by God to bring this message to the world. It takes power to change the world. You think you're going to get people to stop doing drugs and stop committing adultery and stop homosexuality and all the other perversions that are in the world and just because you think it's not a good idea? Nobody's listening to you. But when you speak in the authority of the name of Jesus, there is a power in His name to change lives. There are homosexuals who have abandoned their homosexual lifestyle and are serving God today. My daughter's church down in Florida, a guy is the head of an organization, I can't think of the name of it right now, but he was a practicing homosexual who got saved. And when he got saved, he abandoned his homosexual lifestyle. And he got married and he has children. And he goes around the world proclaiming that to homosexuals that they can be set free. They don't have a birth defect other than they've all been born in sin. We're not going to stop abortion just because we think it's a bad idea. Abortion will be stopped by the power of God. We need to begin to appropriate the power. You know, we prayed for 3 days here. And boy, I tell you, the power of God looks like we started a hornet's nest. Things began to happen. And that's good. I think we'll get the enemy on the run. We're going to do that some more. Appropriating the power of God. The kingdom of God is established with we through the power of Jesus Christ, establish the kingdom and get it to expand. It took great power for every revival that has ever existed to come into the world and to have effect. Go read the old revivals that took place around the world. And it took power to do it. You know, Jonathan Edwards gets credit for a great revival in his day called the Great Awakening. You know how it got started? Children. Children got it started. There was a little girl, and if my memory serves me right, she was either 6 or 8 years old, and she began to believe in the power of God, and she began to pray for people in the name of Jesus. I can just see a little girl, you know, say, in the name of Jesus, and people got healed, and they started bringing people to her to pray for her. This little girl praying for people, and they're getting healed using the name of Jesus. And other kids got involved. And it spread to teenagers. And it spread to adults. And it spread around the world at that time. And it started with children believing God. Maybe we need to get like these little kids. You know? Just get like these little kids. Yeah. Amen. It doesn't take much. It just takes the power of God. All right. And somebody to believe it. Thank you, Jim. Third thing I want to talk to you about is God's glory must be portrayed. For thine is the glory. You're going to love this passage of Scripture out of the book of Psalms. Psalms 148. 145. 11 through 13. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. There it is, the glory, the kingdom, and the power. The glory, the kingdom, and the power. Probably one of the most difficult concepts for us to understand is the concept of glory. We understand about kingdoms. We know what that is, so we can kind of put that in our minds and make it work and understand what a kingdom is. And we can talk about power, and we understand what power can do and its ability to do it. But we seem to have trouble conceptualizing what glory is. We say things like, give God the glory. Well, what the heck does that mean? How do you give God the glory? And he is glory. How are we going to give it more? You know, what does that mean? Here's a story I want to read to you. A woman entered a Häagen-Dazs ice cream store in Kansas City for an ice cream cone. After making that selection, she turned around and found herself face to face with Paul Newman. He was in town filming the movie. Newman's blue eyes caused her knees to buckle. She managed to pay for her cone and left the shop, heart pounding. When she gained her composure, she realized she didn't have a cone. She started back into the store to get it when she met Newman at the door. Are you looking for your ice cream cone? He asked. She nodded, unable to speak. You put it in the purse with your change. When was the last time the presence of God quickened your pulse? That's the glory of God. When you experience the presence of God, when you know that He's around, all authority comes from God. All glory comes from God. You know, if we saw the glory of God, it may make us do some foolish things. We might have to lose some of our poise and pomp in our ceremony in the glory of God. In the scriptures, when people ran into God, they find that they just fall to the ground. They just fall to the ground in the presence of Almighty God. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament that describes God's glory has this meaning. It suggests something that radiates from the one who has it, leaving an impression behind. Let me read that for you again. It suggests something that radiates from the one who has it, leaving an impression behind. Sometimes God passes by so close that you can feel His presence, the weight of His presence. And I thought about this, and when we've walked, we've all had the occasion to walk on the seashore, and we put our feet down on the seashore, and we leave an impression that shows that we were there. We have impressions of dinosaurs' feet. We have things that geologists look at where there are little shellfish and different kinds of things from long ago that fossilized, and we have impressions that they were there. And what the glory of God is the impressions that He makes that He's here. That's the glory of God. It's like when you put your fingers on something, you leave a fingerprint. We now know that you leave your DNA behind. It shows that you were there. If we just but look around us, we'll see the glory of God all around us. It's the color of the sky. It's the touch of a new baby. It's the face of a worshiper. It's the tears of a new believer. We look for the glory of God and we'll discover that it's all around us. And when we give glory to God, we in some way return back to Him, His presence within us. Because within us is the presence and the glory of God. Jesus told His disciples one day, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if Jesus is in you, then the Father's in you. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. And the glory of God is within us. And we can radiate the glory of God that people might see who God is. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. No wonder the early church in persecution added this to the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, because they wanted to proclaim that in the face of all that they dealt with, that God was the kingdom, and God was the power, and God was the glory forever and ever. And when they said amen, they said, and let it be. It was their prophetic word and utterance that, yes, it's true. It's true. There is a message here for us today from an ancient people that we've never known but that we'll meet one day, who when they prayed the way God told them to pray, when they finished the prayer, Lord, deliver us from the evil one, and they said, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We as a church believers need to take that message and carry it to the world, that they might know that God is the kingdom, and God is the power, and God is the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that will change the world, and that will change your life too. That's the message for today. No wonder amen is not enough. You got to say the whole thing. Say it with me. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's all stand. Okay, that's a good idea. I'll tell you what, sit down for just a minute. We are very pleased, and I know I'm probably taking an unfair advantage, but I'm going to do it anyway. Our state representative, A.G. Crow, has just slipped in the back, and A.G. has really been a vanguard for Christ in political office. And A.G., would you just come up here and just tell us a little about what's going on and just whatever. Just preach a sermon if you want to, brother. All right, I got it warmed up. You can take over. Hallelujah. So good to see you. Can you get this mic right here going? Oh, I get it.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And I'm passing through here briefly on the way home, and I saw the car still here. So I said, well, there's still some worshipers here this morning. Let me go in and share the message. First off, I'm humbled to be your state representative, and I want you never to make a mistake about it. It is a mission field to me. I never looked to get into politics. I've always supported those people who stood for Christian principles, family values, and the things that we stand for as Christians. Next thing you know, I fell off the deep end in 1999. So here I am, by the grace of God, two terms later, eighth year. Hallelujah. And to me, it's an opportunity to proclaim His word. Because we as Christians, we're the feet, we're the hands, we're the eyes, we're the ears to carry the message. If not us, who?
That's right.
And you know, He started all this, our Father. He is the beginning, He's the end, He's everything in between. So what's the problem with the world? It's us.
Yeah.
It's us for not doing enough. It's us for not acknowledging His presence and His being. But I'm here to tell you that you have a pastor here that has a passion for Christ. And I see him in the community. He's one of those pastors that walks the talk. You hear about walking the walk and talking the talk. We have a lot of legislators that do that too. But when it comes to a vote, whether to press the red button or the green button, we don't have an abstain button, by the way. We have to make a decision there. But the red or the green button, so many of them, as I look around, I see them sweating bullets trying to determine who do I please on this vote, this group, that group, this person, that person. But I don't get involved in that. I simply ask, what would Jesus do?
Amen.
What would please God? And sometimes it's in direct conflict with what you would normally think would help somebody. But I don't sweat bullets. I just say, what would he do? What would he want me to do? I read the bill, I study it, and then I press it according to his will.
Amen.
And I don't really get any complaints. I haven't had too many. But I'm sure there's some out there. I am on the ACLU hit list at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They probably have a picture of me in their office with dartboard holes.
Hallelujah.
They came out with a scorecard about 2 years ago, and some groups, you know, they have scorecards as to how the legislators vote on their issues important to that organization. ACLU scorecard came out 2 years ago, and I got an 8 out of 100. And I was so upset that I got 8 points. I had to go back and look at the survey, and they were actually right on one issue, which goes to show you that even a broken clock is right twice a day. But it is a blessing to be there, and it's humbling to be your representative. A lot of people ask what the AG stands for. I have a number of answers for you. It's not Almighty God, because I fear lightning. Amazing Grace, I would be honored.
Yeah.
Average guy is what I usually tell people, average guy. Yeah. But it stands for Allemand Gaston, which is now you know why they call me AG. Somebody said accessibility, because my cell phone's on my web page and I have no problem with talking to anybody anytime.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do, return phone calls and so on. But this Tuesday night, when we heard of this news, I know, you know, God has a way of, you know, stirring up a hornet's nest. And if we, the silent majority, are the hornet's nest, praise God that we're stirred up, right?
Amen.
A lot of people call me at my house, on my cell phone, sent me emails about this disturbing thing with the ACLU again attacking our community, our citizens. I was outraged too, you know, but I see what God's doing here. I see perfectly. He's using the ACLU to get us all stirred up. And so he needs us to step up and step out and be there 7 o'clock Tuesday evening on the steps of the city courthouse. I offer a resolution, possibly could be presented this afternoon. We're going into session at 4 this afternoon or tomorrow, proclaiming this attack as being un-American, and as being unconstitutional, unfair, and all sorts of other things. So that will be proclaimed on the House of Representatives floor either this afternoon or tomorrow. Taking a stand. We've got to all take a stand. You know, it's one thing to, again, walk the walk and talk the talk. We've got to walk the talk in everything that we say and do. And it's not always easy because you got all these other influences out there. You know, they think that we're the crazy ones.
Mm-hmm.
They think that we're the ones upside down in this world. But the reality is we know who the Creator is, and we're the right. We're on the right track. We are. We read the book. We know who won.
Amen. Amen.
So, but anyway, to spread the word and continue to pray. If you can't make it, I think you had mentioned in the back that it could be a possibility, difficult for some people to be there. But prayer has no boundaries, no time boundaries, no geographic boundaries. And so if you'll just pray, you know, to get a lot of, and to come if you can. 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. Tomorrow night at 10:30, we arranged to have Mike Johnson, who is our very dedicated Christian attorney who volunteers his time for the Alliance Defense Fund. He's out of Shreveport. But tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m., 6 on our side, Channel 6, called me and asked me if I wanted to come and speak. And I said, well, I'll be there, but I'm also going to bring the Alliance Defense Fund attorney. So, and I called Mike, and I said, Mike, I've offered Joe Cook for 5 years now to debate him, and he's never answered my question. He's never answered the call. And he said, me too. Every time I show up, they usually run. You know, where there's light, there can't be darkness. And we're going to see what happens tomorrow night. But 10:30, tune in on Channel 6, 10:30. News on our side, I think it's what it's called.
Yes,
and it'll be a debate. if the ACLU people do show up. And if they do, they're still going to lie about the First Amendment. And let me just close by telling you, the First Amendment is their most distorted stand that they show. And why is it important that we know what the First Amendment says? So that we can tell our young kids and our grandsons and granddaughters and family, when they're being told something, you know, when kids hear something, they just kind of, as kids, they'll kind of take it as being the truth, unless it's defended, unless it's set, the record is set straight. The First Amendment does not say anything about church and state. It simply says that we have the freedom of religion. It cannot be a national religion such as they had in England. That's exactly what the forefathers said. They don't want Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians, government. They didn't say anything about, and they want to paint God as a religion. Every time the word God is mentioned, oh, you know, you can't do that. And so many people are on eggshells about being politically correct. I say the heck with all that. God is God. He's not a religion. God is God. And religion is what the First Amendment talks about. The more you know about that, just like in Scripture, you can defend Christianity better if you know what you're talking about. So get in the Word, but look at the First Amendment and know it, so that, because it's being distorted. And don't let it fall, the untruth by them fall on innocent ears such as our children, without, you know, letting them know what the real truth is. Thank you again for giving me a few minutes, and keep us in your prayers. My wife left yesterday for 2 weeks to Dallas. About Thursday, I'll be running out of towels. She's got one of these digital washing machines. I don't know how you. And I could always go to restaurants to eat after the leftovers are gone, but I'm going to be in trouble about Thursday or so. So, yeah. But keep us in your prayers, and I appreciate the time.
Let us pray for you before you take off, okay? Why don't you all just stand up and reach your hands out to AG. Father, I thank you for this man. Lord, I've known him a long time. I knew him, Lord, when he was in the copy business, Lord, and a lot of other things, and I know he still has some of that, but he's heard the call to step into public life, Lord, and when he's done that, he's set himself up as a target that the enemy would like to cut down. But, Lord, we know that all authority comes from you, and that you've entrusted this man with that authority. And we thank you for his voice that echoes in Baton Rouge and around our state for righteousness. Father, I ask you to protect him from all evil. Father, will you surround him with warring angels with drawn swords of the Word of God, to make sure that the enemy can't hurt him or his wife or his entire family. And Father, give him the voice of a herald as he proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this man. We're just honored that he had time to come visit us today. I ask you to bless him for having blessed us. And we pray and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, AJ. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Amen.
That all of hell is going to tremble at the power of your voice, because you're going to speak as an oracle of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's a good word. Hallelujah. There's coffee and everything. You were dismissed in the name of the Lord. All right?